get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Lounge. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Come in, sit down. I hope you've got your favorite beverage. And, you know, always a great, great welcome to my listeners of old, my family, and especially a great welcome to those who are listening to the first time. So VIBE is an acronym for Vision, Intention, Belief and Expectation, because these are the attributes that require change for us to really change for the better version of ourselves. And VIBE is also short for the word vibration. What is vibration? It's frequency. What vibration are you vibrating at? And one of the things I always ask my family to do is to reset themselves and focus and ask themselves, what do I want? Simply to get them back into a higher vibration, because when you're in a mode of complaint, which we are predisposed to do, what you're actually doing is you're sending out a negative frequency, and you will attract in everything that is at that frequency, at a low frequency VIBE. So you will attract negative energy to you. You know, you've heard the expression, misery loves company. Why is that? Because you're sending out a negative VIBE. Your VIBE goes before you. It is that unseen energy that is based or emanates from the feelings that you have about yourself or the thoughts that you are thinking. So today I was asked to write a bio, and I was looking at different bios that I had written. I've written 3 books. You know, first one, She's Got That VIBE. Then I wrote, as part of an anthology, a chapter in a book called The Blind Spot. And then I wrote The Difference, that was released last year. And all of these books, by the way, are available on Amazon. And the bios at the back of each of these books, they all represent my life to date. At the date of writing She's Got That VIBE, it was to date at that point. But our life extends, doesn't it? It unfolds. And so now I find myself at another junction in my life, just as you are, at another junction. So much has happened, hasn't it, recently. We find ourselves at another junction. And so I began to look at the timeline of my life. Each and one of you have a timeline, and if you were to draw a line or a circle, I found myself drawing a circle with just some lines on the circle, and those lines representing different segments of my life or certain things that really stood out for me at that time. And looking back to see how the dots connected one from the other. You know, so here I am, Valerie Ale Eve Campbell, born a Sunday, July the 5th, in a year not so long ago, because I'm still 21. Definitely not, but born in the 70s. And I thought about my life. I thought that I was about the fact that I was born into physical and verbal abuse. But it wasn't just physical and verbal abuse. There was also good times. You know, I eventually would be the second of 11 children, but at that time I didn't know that. So at that time, at that junction of my life, coming into the world as this squalling baby, I was born into an environment of physical and verbal abuse. Now, parents of old, like those times, remember, were they're coming from like the plantation days, not direct but indirect. Remember, there's a timeline, and to reprimand us at that time, remember, it's just me at that time and two brothers from my dad's former marriage. To reprimand us, what he understood was removing the belt from his trousers and basically whipping me with it. Okay. He would call me names. You know, nasty, whatless. Whatless mean worthless. Okay. These were names that were carried over from the Caribbean. And it's, if you listen to any Caribbean around that time, they use the same term. It was actually fascinating to find that out along my journey, the same sort of word. So imagine you have your parents saying to you, you're whatless. In other words, you are worthless. That is what you're being told in your mind. And at the time, I took it to mean what it meant. Not really understanding what it meant, if you understand. Like, I'd be chastened. Oh, you're just a whatless child. So even though I didn't fully understand the word at that time, I felt the essence, the vibration of what the word meant. So growing up, that was within me. That was placed within me. You are worthless. Was never embraced lovingly, was never told that, was, we were never, you know, as the family grew, the kind of huggy kind of family. Okay, you didn't show physical affection. You were made to be quiet, to be invisible. Children were seen and not heard. And so that physical and verbal abuse that I received, more so at the hands of my father. My mother was much more softer. She was 20 years younger than my father, and she nurtured me the best that she could. You know, she was definitely subservient to my dad. And at that time, I'd sent for my sister, who then joined me from the Caribbean. Anyway, at that point of my life, at the time that I reached age 11, the physical and verbal abuse had turned into something else. It was at age 11 that my father approached me with sexual desire in his eyes when looking at me. It was the first time that my father inappropriately touched me. It's funny, it's kind of easy to talk about it now because I've done the work. I've done the counselling. I've come to that self-acceptance. However, at that time, I was on the run as an 11-year-old. And when I say on the run, I mean I was on the run from my dad. I would never put myself in a position where I was alone. I tried my very best not to. I was always on tenterhooks. Almost as if my antennae were up. You know when you see a deer walking through the forest and his ears are pricked up at the slightest crackling in the grass, alert for danger? That is who I was at the age of 11 growing up. And so I didn't have time to stand still and get to grips with my developing body. You know, ladies, when your bust begins to grow, how painful it can be, right? I didn't get to see my hips beginning to widen because I was too busy running with my baggy clothes. I didn't have time to embrace myself or getting to understand who I was as a person. I was too busy listening, being on the alert for danger, too busy protecting myself, defending myself. And so around the age of 16, all of this stopped when my cousin arrived from the Caribbean to learn to be a doctor. And I guess for fear of my father finding out what had, you know, for fear of my father being found out, should I say. And then I remember at the age of 18, I remember giving away my virginity. I didn't know it was worth anything. You know, I hadn't been set a standard by my father. They say it's your father who sets the standard for you when it comes to you relating to other male figures that come into your life. You know? So if I was a child that had never been hit by my dad, then I would say, if a man tried to approach me that way, my dad never did that. Who are you to do that? But no, that level had never been set. And so I gave away the most precious part of myself for nothing. And then I would meet a great guy, wonderful man. And I remember being devastated at losing a child. I had a miscarriage, was really looking forward to my child. Had the name ready, her name was going to be Shanique. And I lost her, I was completely devastated. I think at that point, that's when I realised that a person can actually lose their mind. I travelled, and it was the best years of my life. It was the best years of my life. I travelled and I had so much fun. I had my market stall set up. I was selling clothes. I was an entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur. And I'd had so much fun meeting other individuals. The sun was bright. I was getting connected with myself, the melanin. It was beautiful. I absolutely loved my time in the Caribbean. I spent 4 months here, then 4 months in the Caribbean. And then I was back again, back and forth. When I think about it, that was actually before I had my miscarriage. And so me and him drifted, we drifted. And I met someone else. And that person is my daughter's father. And he was everything like my dad. He reminded me so much of my dad, same star sign, same month, same beard, same vibe, same vibe. And I stuck with that relationship for approximately 5.5 years because it was familiar to me. You see, subsequent to that, I then entered into counselling. And I was told that the reason, which I really resonated with, the reason that I stuck in that relationship with somebody who was physically, verbally, and I would have to say sexually abusive to me, is because it was familiar. Isn't it strange how you can know that something is not good for you? And yet you stick to it because it's in your comfort zone. It's in your comfort zone because it's familiar to you. I thought I was in love. I thought that I was in love. And in that time, I would go back to the Caribbean. I would come back and I remember falling in love deeply for the first time in the Caribbean. Deeply. You know when you fall in love and you just completely, oh my gosh, heart, soul, everything, everything. And it didn't work out. I would have to say that was my first love. That guy was my first love. And going, coming back and forth, I remember when I came back, I You know, I thought I need to be sensible here. That was when I settled down with a job, worked the 9 to 5, got into the rigmarole of working in the box, working for the system, but still with the entrepreneurial edge to myself. And it was on this path that I then entered into counseling. It was on this path that I began to read personal development books to understand myself better. And you know how one thing leads to the next? I then encountered the book Acts of Faith by Ayaan Levanzant, to whom I am forever grateful. 365 days of medicine, now working in an environment where I've started off as an administrator, and now I've worked myself up to management, where I'm managing 120 men. I'm the only female, the only black female at that, working in this environment for over 10 years, and I absolutely loved it. It was where I came into my own. It was where I discovered my feminine boss power, my boss power as a woman. And it was fantastic. Very different from the guys, the guy managers, right? The male managers, my male counterparts, who would be brash with their workers. And then there I am, using my femininity to get them to do work over and beyond the call of duty, oftentimes more so than what my male counterparts would allow, they would do for my male counterparts. And every day I'm sat there and I'm just reading Ayaan Levanzant every single day. Food for my soul, food for my soul, food for my soul. Renewing my mindset. You never know the impact that you have on a person. So if you have a book inside of you, I'm telling you, you need to write your book. You never know the impact that you're going to have on somebody. And she saved me. She saved my mind. And then from there, I remember this was the first time that I was then able to recognize an answer that I'd had to words that I'd spoken on paper, written on paper for many years prior to that, to know the difference between right and wrong. Didn't know why I kept on writing it. I felt maybe now looking back, it came back from my subconscious thoughts of being brought up in that environment as a child and maybe questioning what was right and what was wrong. And so I'm sat at work this day, heading to a seminar, personal development. And there I have a spiritual revelation where I hear as clear as day as the voice that you can hear right now as I speak, my voice, I hear the words, there is no difference. And I know it is an answer to those words that I've written all those past years. There is no difference between right and wrong. And I struggled with understanding it. I struggled with understanding it until one day that voice, which I referred to as spirit, explained to me the tree story. One day sat in my daughter's bedroom, seeing a tree outside of the window. Spirit said to me, if I were sat in the bench below the tree and I were looking up at the tree, would I be adamant? Would I be right in saying the tree was above me? To which I, of course, responded, yes. And then Spirit said to me, if you were in the aeroplane looking down on the tree, would you be adamant that you were right in saying the tree is below you? And I said, yes. And Spirit said, so, you're both right. The only thing is that's different is literally your point of view. So what then do you say for God that has all the points of views? And all of the points of views are right from where he's standing. And that deep message of understanding then that if I stood in that person's shoes and thought the thoughts that they thought, then I would also be right in coming to that conclusion. And here was Spirit saying to me, the Spirit of God saying to me, that all points of views are right. So therefore, there is no difference between right and wrong. And so within that context, I then understood that when I'm speaking to someone, never to judge. Never to judge. And that then allowed me to open up my mind to listen. And people would say, Valerie, you're so good at listening. How did I get to tell you so much of about myself just now? What did you do? And all I did was listen. And they felt that vibe from me that there was no judgment. Because if I stood in your shoes and thought the thoughts you thought, I too would come to your viewpoint. And so then my job was to just then get them to that higher place of thinking. We all create our own realities. Is it the best reality? Is there a higher way of thinking? You've heard that expression, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, then you're also right. Yeah, two different points of view. And sometimes that point of view can do more evil than good. Are you living at your highest level, at your highest vibration? And so in that, I could see the dots and how they were connected. And so I came out of environmental services and I got my own job, my own business. You know, it was a fantastic, it was a golden opportunity. That's what it was referred to as, because out of nowhere, it seems, somebody came and asked me if I wanted investment for my business. I'd been working with a little small group of people, had an amazing time working there, but yet it challenged me again into defining who I am. It defined me, it challenged me into not buying into another person's perspective. You see, you can understand something theoretically. You can read all the books in the world, you can read all the videos, but unless you've actually practiced what you understand theoretically, you will never know it. You see, to have experience is to know. There are nuances that cannot be explained in a book or theoretically unless you've actually walked the walk. Then you know. That's why at interviews, even though you may have a degree and all of these paperwork, they will say, do you have experience? Because it's with the experience that you know. And so here I was challenged in a job. I'd come from a job of managing, and here I was now dealing with African men who were so belligerent in their thinking, challenging me to understand and to implement even further my feminine power. As women, we have to adapt so much. And then I left there to work in another job. That was okay, self-employed, until I met another love of my life. I thought I had it sussed. Yep, thought I had it sussed. Yes, I've got this. But it's about that theoretical application, isn't it? Thought I knew it. Wow, in that relationship, I got burnt so badly. And it was through that relationship that I then birthed the book, She's Got That Vibe, which was a very cathartic experience. I began to learn so much about myself. I began to be visible with the pain that I'd gone through. Just an inkling of the pain that I'd gone through as a child. But it's that pain that birthed me. It's that pain that defined me. It's that corridor of the womb that defined me, who I am today, that shaped me, that's shaping you. And so I wrote, She's Got That Vibe. She's Got That Vibe. Explaining about the power of a woman, how to use it, how to own who you are, how to set boundaries in a relationship, how to understand how the law of attraction works. All part of my personal development. And what a journey that was. You see, no one comes into your life by accident. They come into your life so that you can learn. What is it that you need to learn? The quicker you learn it, you can move on. You go up higher in frequency. But if you do not learn it, you will still attract the same. You will still attract the same, wrapped up in different skin, but you will attract the same. You can never attract more than how you feel about yourself. And so then later on, I wrote in my anthology, the book compiled by Sonia Polian, Blind Spot. And I tell my story of Eve's story. As you know, my name is Valerie Ala Eve Campbell. I tell the story of Eve's story, and I tell about how, through the pain of it all, the lessons that I learned, the nuances that I can't get into too much right now. Eve's story, because we all have a story, right? But our story can change depending on how we look at it. We have the power to change our story. Our past is our past, but we have to speak our future. Speak your future, hold fast to it, and never let another perspective deter you off path. And so from Eve's story, and my previous book, I began my counselling work. And last year, I released my book, The Difference. The Difference. Where I tell about the revelation that I had that day. So what has The Difference taught me? It has taught me that you are the difference. Each and every one of us, we are unique. Unique beings. Different points of view. And you're all right. You are all right. You've got your own race to run. It's not about being in competition with others. It's about competing with yourself to rise higher, to raise your vibe higher. And then from that place, working in collaboration with others. Collaboration over competition all day long. And there are some races, but I have to say, and I'm not going to name any names, that find it very difficult to collaborate. They think that they're in competition all the time, looking at what's in the other's plate, looking at what's on the other person's lane. Watch what is on your lane. Get really good at what you do. Own your difference. And then complete the jigsaw, the beautiful, beautiful mosaic jigsaw, with someone else's jigsaw piece that you can all collaborate together. That is how we win. And so now I'm in a position where I've met some very interesting people. It has been, despite COVID, a very majestic year for me in more ways than one. You see, when you get yourself aligned with God and who He is, God can restore in a very short time everything that you have lost before. And that's what I'm experiencing this year. I've probably made more money in less than the 6 months of this year than all the years that I've worked. Why is that? Because of rising at a higher frequency, knowing that I am the difference. Knowing that I only compete with myself, you only compete with yourself. So own your difference. Know that you are the difference.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.